Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them to the book of Acts, chapter 28. That's where we'll be in a few minutes, Acts chapter 28. You know, the last 1 month period has been kind of crazy for our church family. Not only is Vacation Bible School beginning tonight at 5, praise the Lord, but we've had and will have a lot of other mission stuff going on over the past month and even beyond that, because it was less than 2 months ago we finished kind of a six-month stretch where we're helping the Congolese church in Colombia, Revival Christian Church, and they came by the other night and wanted to thank us, and we're very appreciative of the ministry that really Billy and Terry Hovey led for our church, serving there weekly on Sunday afternoons. Billy Hovey recently served with Missouri Baptist Disaster Relief in Southwest Missouri. He's served with them multiple times recently. Scotty Watson got back just a couple weeks ago from a trip to Omaha with other churches in the heart of Missouri Baptist Association. We've had a team of nine that we're going to pray for at the end of the service this morning, a team of nine that's going to go to Mankato, Minnesota, a week from tomorrow to do a mission trip there to help with both the physical needs of a church that's struggling, but also helping with community outreach and spiritual ministry there with that church in Mankato. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday for the Ellis family. You saw that great testimony by Jake and Casey this morning, the Ellises and the Garcias, who are going to be going to the King's Church in Columbia to help with that church plant that we're a part of. The Bloss family is also going to be leaving soon to move to Southwest Missouri, not just moving there, but also with the hopes of ministering to some lost family members in that area and helping to establish a better gospel witness in that community that they're going to be a part of. And in just a few weeks, six of us are going to go from our church, along with six folks from First Baptist Fulton and some other churches in Missouri and around the country, are going to Central Asia to work with our partners there for a couple of weeks and work alongside those on the ground. I mean, that's just all in a one-month period. And this is exciting. It's bittersweet in a lot of ways, which we'll see next week when we have a time of prayer for the Ellises and Garcias. It's hard, but it's good, right? It's what was expected, along with our personal gospel witness in our everyday lives, as the book of Acts finished, but really our story just began. The church, and that's why there's a missions organization called Acts 29 for that very reason, that when Acts 28 finished, that wasn't the end. That was really just, for the rest of us, that was the beginning of our gospel family mission and purpose. And so here's that ending. I want to read, beginning in verse 17, we're going to read Acts chapter 28. We're going to read through the end of the chapter. This is the end of Acts, but it's our beginning. So just notice that here as we talk about the victory of our purpose. So it says in verse 17 that after 3 days, he called together the leaders of the Jews. This is Paul talking to Jews there in Rome. And when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our forefathers, I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, after examining me, wanted to release me since I had not committed a capital offense. Because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. It was not as though I had any accusation against my nation. So for this reason, I've asked to see you and to speak to you. In fact, it is for the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." He was in chains, literally, at house arrest. And so he's sharing this story. He's kind of sharing a summary of what happened with these Jewish people in Rome. And they said to him, "We haven't received any letters about you from Judea. None of the brothers has come and reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we consider it suitable to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect," talking about Christianity, "we are aware that it is spoken against everywhere." So these Jewish people are saying, you know, this Christianity stuff, we don't know a lot about it, but it seems like everybody's against it. And so they're giving Paul a chance to speak to them about the truth. So verse 23, "After arranging a day with him, many came down to him at his lodging. From dawn to dusk, he expounded and witnessed about the kingdom of God. He persuaded them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. Some were persuaded by what he said, but others did not believe." That's what happens, right? You share the gospel, some believe, some don't. "Disagreeing among themselves, they began to leave after Paul made one statement. 'The Holy Spirit correctly spoke through the prophet Isaiah to your forefathers when he said, go to this people and say, you will listen and listen, yet never understand. And you will look and look, yet never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous, their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted. So in other words, what he's saying there with that statement is a failure to respond to the gospel is a failure to be converted, right? Or some of your translations might say, turn, to be converted, or to turn, as some translations say. So you either respond to the gospel and believe, or you're not converted. You're not made right with God. So they'll fail to be converted, and I would heal them, he said. So if they turn, they'll be converted and healed. If not, they won't. Verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that this saving work of God has been sent to the Gentiles. The gospel is going to the ends of the earth, right? Jesus promised it. It's what's happening. And then the Jews were given the first opportunity to respond. Just as Jesus said they would, they're given the first opportunity. But then the Gentiles are emphasized, and we don't see it in the English, but it's an emphatic positioning of that word in this verse, that he's emphatically emphasizing the Gentiles. You Jews had your chance. Now the Gentiles, the rest of us, are going to hear. And what's he say? And they will listen. Verse 29, which isn't in most of the original manuscripts, that's why it's got brackets in your text. It says, after he said these things, the Jews departed while engaging in a prolonged debate among themselves. Verse 30, then he stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with full boldness and without hindrance. Father, please give us wisdom this morning to understand the truth of your word and to see how it applies to our lives, to not be content to just go about our everyday lives through the motions, the religious motions, if you will, but rather having a desire to live according to your word. Father, let us see the victory of our purpose and let us respond rightly. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as followers of Jesus, as we look at the book of Acts, as followers of Jesus, as a church following Jesus together, we know very clearly that our passion is the gospel, our church is our family, our world is our mission. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. And so today we're going to look at the victory of our purpose, gospel, family, mission. There is victory in that purpose, right? What does this victory look like, though? When we think about that, what does the victory look like? If we say there's victory in gospel family mission, it's not always as we might expect. It's certainly not always as we might prefer, as was the case with Paul. But the book of Acts ends with an emphasis on this victory. I mean, think about it. The continued proclamation and spread of the gospel is emphasized despite all the attempts to stop it. I mean, just think of all the things we've read over the last several weeks, all the attempts to stop the gospel from continuing, and yet it continues. The victory of gospel family mission. And so my purpose this morning in this message is that you will receive and grow in lasting victory. Receive it. Because it's not something you can earn or achieve. You have to receive the victory. Because we can't gain it ourselves. You receive victory in and through Jesus. And then grow in this victory in the same way. Again, we can't will ourselves to grow. We need God's help. And so we grow also in and through Jesus. If you receive the victory, you can and you will grow in that victory. And so I want to discuss for a few moments this morning three realities for purposeful Christian victory. We've seen that there are a lot of ups and downs in the Christian life, right? It's been clear as we've read through the book of Acts. If you've lived at all, you know it's clear that this is how the life goes for all of us. It's up and down, both because of our own failures and because of the world around us, ups and downs. The victory doesn't mean easy. It doesn't mean comfortable. It doesn't mean safe. It doesn't mean convenient. The victory does mean purposeful. It does mean meaningful. It does mean eternal. And so, in other words, it's the victory that matters, the victory we all need, the victory that we should want. It's better than the worldly victory because the victory that we see in the scriptures that comes in Christ is a victory that's lasting. And so one reality for purposeful Christian victory is that the victory is faith. Right? Faith in Jesus, faith in what's to come, faith in the gospel family mission purpose that the Bible declares. Victory is faith, faith that is right and true. Faith is the victory, not because it's our faith. Let's be clear. Faith isn't the victory because of our faith. right? Or because of some amount of faith that we have, but rather because of the object of our faith, Jesus. It's not about just having faith in a general sense. It's having faith in Christ. Why was Paul in the predicament he was in? Think about that for a second. Why had he gone through everything he's gone through since Acts chapter 8? Why? Why has he gone through everything he's gone through since he became a Christian? Because of his faith in Jesus. That's why. Right? Because of his faith in the hope of what was and is to come. That's why Paul was going through what he was going through. The world might look at Paul's situation and say, well, that's failure. There's no success. That's not victory, Paul. But he did have victory. He had the victory of his faith. Right? That's why he said in verse 20, when he said, in fact, it is for the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain. He was literally in chains, oftentimes in a chain attached to a Roman guard that had to watch him. He was in a chain. Why? Because of the hope for Israel, because he's talking to these Jews and he says, I want you to be saved. I want you to experience what I've experienced. And so that's why I'm in this chain. He was a failure by the Jewish and Roman standards. Nobody would look at Paul's life and say, well, that's a life I want. The Jews and the Romans wouldn't say that. But victory is faith. Faith that is lasting in victory, that is lasting. And that's why victory is faith here, in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it says in John chapter 5, whatever has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. And who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So just in case you missed it, John there was wanting to make sure that you didn't think it was about your faith as much as it's about the object of your faith. He said, but who's the one that conquers the world? The one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't misunderstand this and think that it's about you and your faith. No, it's about whom you trust. That's the important thing. You can have all the faith in the world. If it's in the wrong thing, it doesn't lead to victory. But Jesus said, just a little bit in the right place, in him, that's enough. Trusting in Jesus, right? The only victory is for those whose faith is in Jesus. That's why we say victory is faith. It's faith in Jesus. It's like the song we sang. We sang, faith is the victory. Why is faith the victory? Because of the next song we sang, victory in Jesus. So we sang those songs for a reason, because it helps us to see what we're trying to get across here that is so clear in the book of Acts. Victory is faith. It's faith in Jesus. Paul was in this situation because of his faith, but he was also guaranteed victory because of his faith. And so you could look at Paul's life and say, man, his faith led to all kinds of bad things. Suffering and persecution and difficulty. Rejection. It led to all this bad stuff, so that's not good, right? But faith was going to lead ultimately to his victory, and that's why he said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And so he continued to live out his faith. Wouldn't this have been a time for Paul? I mean, think about it for a second. Would this not have been a time for Paul to say, you know what? Time for someone else to do this ministry now. I mean, I've done my time. I mean, all that Paul had been through, if anybody had the right to just retire and say, somebody else take over. But no, Paul's faith in Jesus wouldn't allow that. And as a result, the gospel kept spreading. Because Paul kept going. Because victory is faith. Maybe you're tempted sometimes to step back and say, you know what? It's someone else's turn. I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. Let's just let somebody else do all the work. But the reality is, if you're still breathing, God's got a purpose for you. And that purpose is centered on gospel, family, mission. Have faith to continue in that purpose. One reality for purposeful Christian victory is faith. Secondly, then, victory is opposed. So we've already seen in this book of Acts that Christian life, the Christian life is not smooth sailing. I mean, literally and figuratively, right? We saw it literally in chapter 27. It's not smooth sailing. But figuratively speaking, it's not smooth sailing. One of the major reasons for that is because Christian victory is opposed. There is persecution. There are skeptics. There are critics. There are opponents. But that reality doesn't diminish the victory, because the truth is truth. No matter what opposition there is against it, the truth is truth. Regardless of what people say or do. Paul understood this, and millions of Christians throughout Christian history have understood this through their suffering. Jesus promised it. Right? Like in Luke chapter 21, Jesus promised it when he said, "You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but not a hair of your head will be lost." Now think about that, because we understand the context. He's not talking about a physical hair. He's talking about an eternal standing. Not a hair of your head will be lost. By your endurance, gain your lives. In other words, you don't give up because you have faith in Jesus. And that proves your faith to be sincere and you have eternal life. Safety and security in this life is not promised. It's not. Just ask Paul, ask the scores of others who have suffered and died for their faith over the millennia. That's not promised, but the eternal victory is guaranteed. And that's why so many have died for their faith, because they know what's to come. Victory is opposed, yes, but it is victory. Take this to heart. Let it impact the way that you live your life. I mean, think about if you knew that you were on the winning side in the end, what would that do for your joy now? If you knew that you were on the winning side in the end, what would that do for your commitments right now? If you knew that you were on the winning side in the end, what would that do for your priorities right now? If you knew that you were on the winning side in the end, what would that do for your witness today? And here's the reality. If you turn to Jesus, you do know. You do know that you're on the winning side in the end. Two realities for purposeful Christian victory is that victory is faith and victory is opposed. The third thing I want you to notice is that victory is discipleship. This is the ultimate way we see this victory now and that we prepare to see it for eternity. Discipleship. Who can remember? Somebody tell me, what is discipleship? Just simply put, what's discipleship mean? Following Jesus and helping others to follow Jesus. Well, that's just the simple way that we can understand what discipleship is. We follow Jesus and we help others to follow Jesus. That's discipleship, right? And that it's how the book of Acts ends, and it's how the book of Acts continues today. What Paul was doing as it ended is the same thing we're called to do now. Discipleship, following Jesus, helping others to follow Jesus. Look at verses 30 and 31 again, if you have your Bibles. I mean, the last two verses in the book, this sounds like the Great Commission. You go back and you read Matthew 28, or you read Acts 1:8, you read Luke 24, verses 44 to 48. Right, this is the Great Commission. It's what Jesus told us to do, and it's what Paul's doing. It looks like the fulfillment when Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Remember, where did the first century people in Judea, where do they think the ends of the earth was? Rome. Where was Paul here? Rome. And so he started in Jerusalem, and he was in Judea, and he was in Samaria, and here he is at the ends of the earth. And he's doing what Jesus said that he would do when he received the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses. You will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. So this is the Great Commission. I mean, just look at all the things we see here. Welcoming, proclaiming, teaching, doing so with boldness, doing it without hindrance. Victory is discipleship, and Paul was making disciples and being used by God for the initial fulfillment of Acts 1:8. But we know that it wasn't just there. See, that's what the Jews in the first century saw, Rome as the end of the earth. But if you think about it, we're kind of the ends of the earth, aren't we, for them? And the gospel made it here, and now we've got millions of Christians across our country because of Acts 1:8 being fulfilled. And then we're sending people all over the world from America to the ends of the earth because Acts 1:8 continues to be fulfilled, because discipleship continues to be prioritized, because we are to go and make disciples of all nations. So in fact, you look, so not just is 1:8 being fulfilled, but if you look all the way back at verse 3 of chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, you can see that the book of Acts ends with Paul just like it began with Jesus. So in chapter 1, verse 3, we have Jesus before he ascended. And it looks a lot like what we see at chapter, because look at the end of that verse. So after Jesus had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. That's exactly what Paul was doing. It said he was proclaiming the kingdom of God. Jesus said that that's what Jesus did before he died on the cross. He spoke about the kingdom of God. And that's what he said we would do as we follow Jesus. This is discipleship. Victory is discipleship. Just as it ended with Paul, so it continues with us. It fits well, too, with what many of you discussed in family groups this morning. In your lesson from the Gospel Project, you talked about how even in adversity, God's people seek the welfare of others. God's people offer to help or offer hope to others, and they serve others. I mean, that's what discipleship is all about. You're blessed by the Lord, and so you bless others. Think about that. If you're following Jesus and helping others to follow Jesus, it's like you're blessed by Jesus, and you're helping to give that blessing to others. To offer that hope, to offer that service. You follow Jesus and you help others to follow Jesus by serving them and by giving them that hope. Victory is discipleship. This should have ended Paul's ministry. In fact, we know it should have ended with the shipwreck. He shouldn't have made it through that. It should have ended before that when there were multiple assassination attempts on his life, but it didn't end with that. So it shouldn't still be going, but he was used by the Lord to do so many more things before eventually, according to church history, Paul did, if church history is true, he got beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero shortly after this. These 2 years were up. Some say that he was eventually released and then he was rearrested when the persecution got heavy in Rome and Nero started using Christians as lanterns. And what I mean by that is he would kill them and he would put them on stakes so that he could light up his garden at night and he would burn them. He would burn their bodies and that persecution was picking up against Christians and Paul, as a result of that, was beheaded. But yet, here we have it. He's still here. And for 2 more years, he continued to share the gospel and he continued to make disciples. In fact, scholars believe that it was here under house arrest in Rome where Paul wrote Ephesians. It's where he wrote 2 Timothy. He wrote Philippians. He wrote Colossians. And he wrote Philemon. I mean, you want to talk about some discipleship material? He wrote those books that we have in our New Testament. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters that we can read and know what it means to follow Jesus and help others to follow Jesus. In fact, it was in one of those letters in 2 Timothy 3 where he said that if you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. He was going through it. He understood. And he knew that through that suffering, that as he followed Jesus and was suffered as a result, that he actually drew closer to Jesus and he was able to help others follow Jesus. Victory is discipleship. And now, praise God, we get to continue in this victory. Do you like it? How many people here like it when at the end of a book or a TV show or a movie you see the words "to be continued"? Who likes that? Any weirdos here? Sorry. You do? You like it? Okay. How many people are like me and you're like, that's so annoying. I do not want to see the words "to be continued." Just tell me the ending now. I can't wait. I don't want "to be continued." You're more patient than I am. Yeah, that's true. That would be really bad. They say "to be continued" and then it never comes out. But you know, think about it. Praise God, we get to continue in this victory. Right? I mean, usually when we see "to be continued," and if you're reading the book of Acts, imagine being one of the first ones to get the book of Acts. Imagine it was written, you know, not too long after Paul had died, and you're reading and you're like, well, what happened? He 2 years. What's next? What happened? But if the author, so if you see or hear those words "to be continued," and you think you're like me, you think I don't want to hear that. But what if the author or the producer, the director, what if they were to contact you and say, hey, you know what? I want you to be part of what happens next. I want you to play a role in what happens next as the story's continued. Be like, oh, that's pretty cool. Right? I mean, that's really where we are here in the book of Acts. It's to be continued, and what continues is what we get to be a part of. We get to be a part of this continuation, and yet we know what happens in the end. That's the other thing, is it's not like something we're like, I wonder what's going to happen. 2 years, Paul's sharing the gospel, he's writing these books, what's going to happen? We know what's going to happen. We know what happens in the end. The message of the gospel is victory. The church family has victory. The mission ends in victory. Gospel family mission, it's the victory of our purpose. And we have that guarantee, we have that promise, because God never fails. Remember, I said my purpose this morning in this message is that you would receive and grow in lasting victory. Have you received the victory, and are you growing in that victory? To receive the victory, you must turn to Jesus. You must surrender your all to Him. That's the only way to receive the victory. Because we know the reality of the Word of God, the truth of the gospel is that God's design alone, His creation, His way is perfect. But if we do anything contrary to God's word, that's called sin. And so God's word is perfect, and yet we go away from God's word when we sin against Him. And sin leads to brokenness. We all know what brokenness is because we've all experienced it in all kinds of ways. It's all over our world. We just have to watch the news and we see it. And we don't even have to turn on the news to see it. We look in the mirror and we see it. We look in our own hearts and we see the brokenness that comes because of sin. It's why we do not have the victory and we can't gain the victory in and of ourselves because of brokenness, because of sin. Most importantly and most devastating about that brokenness is a broken relationship with God, meaning that we all deserve to spend eternity in hell because our relationship with a perfect God is broken by our sin. And there's only one thing that can fix our brokenness. There's one thing that can give us victory, and that's the message of the gospel. Right, the message of the gospel, Jesus died on the cross in our place for us since He died because of our brokenness, and on the third day He rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death forever. So the good news is that if you repent and believe, repent meaning to do a 180, to turn in your mind and in your heart and in your life, to turn from sin to Jesus, trusting Him alone, faith in Jesus alone. That repentance and that faith that go together, they're not two separate things. Well, I repented back then or I believed back then, but I haven't yet repented. No, if you have faith, you repent. If you repent, you have faith. And that's victory. That's victory over sin and death forever. See, turning from your sin and surrendering your life to Jesus, that's the only way to be saved from brokenness now and brokenness for eternity. Now, we're still broken. None of us is there yet, right? We're still far from where we need to be. We're still broken, and yet we're being changed day by day when we receive that victory. And so as Jesus changes your life, that's when you begin to recover and to pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for your life. That is what growing and lasting victory looks like. Because your heart's been changed, and so you're desiring that purpose that God has, that design that God has, and so you're returning to that. And so not only do you have the promise of eternal life, you have, as you pursue that lasting victory, you have God in your life now to change you and to grow you through the work of His Holy Spirit. So you receive the victory in and through Christ by His Spirit changing your heart, and then you grow in that victory in and through the Spirit of Christ changing you and growing you and enabling you. You'll never be the same again. To grow in victory is to make disciples. So just ask yourself this morning, just kind of challenge yourself as we get ready to pray in a moment, what do you need to do to grow? If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, it starts there. Receive that victory. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to take over your life. If you are a follower of Jesus, what do you need to do to grow? Do you need to spend more time in God's Word, prioritizing that? Do you need to be more consistent in church involvement? Maybe you need to join a discipleship accountability group so that you can grow and help others grow, so there can be that intentionality with your everyday growth and discipleship. Maybe it needs to be that you're going to say, you know what, I need to share the gospel with my one. I haven't done that yet. What is it that you need to do to grow in discipleship? The book of Acts continues, gospel continues. Church family continues. God's mission continues. Is that obvious in your life? Is it obvious in your priorities? Is it obvious in your commitments that you have the victory of gospel family mission purpose? Father God, we pray for your help because we know that none of us has it all figured out. None of us is where we need to be. We all have growth that needs to take place. So Father, help us to see that, to see it clearly, to understand where can we do better, how can we do better, who do we need to talk to, who needs to pray for us, who do we need to talk to so that we can be witnesses and examples and lights and encouragements. Father, guide us in that by your Spirit right now. Speak to us, convict us, overwhelm us with a sense of what it means to follow Jesus and help others to follow Jesus. And Father, I want to pray especially this morning for those who are here who haven't yet turned to you for salvation, who haven't yet called in your name, who haven't yet said that they want Jesus to forgive them of their sins and give them a new heart. Please give them the desire to do that right now as we pray, to call on you, to turn to you, to ask for your forgiveness and for eternal life. And Father, help all of us to recognize that we have a lifetime of growing to do. As long as you have us here, you have us here to grow and to help others to grow. So give us the desire to do that and the willingness to do that, the commitment to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.